This is Greater LA, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hi, I'm Janaea Williams. Maybe you've seen the protests that erupt sometimes outside of a new coffee shop or upscale restaurant in a transitional neighborhood. Activists say they've noticed a pattern. When a restaurant offering, say, $30 entrees opens in a working-class neighborhood, rents start to rise faster, there are more evictions, and longtime locals are forced to leave. Don't think the owners of those new restaurants are unaware. In fact, some of them are now trying hard to limit their impact on gentrification. But is it enough, or will their presence always be problematic? KCRW's Megan Jamerson takes the story from here.
Here's how Leonardo Vilches describes the pattern in Boyle Heights.
When gentrification happens, the prices start going up. So it's not affordable for the businesses to stay there, but it is affordable for these new businesses to come in. So little by little, they start replacing the market. And then that changes people's access to food and to the things that they used to have. So things become more expensive.
Vilches is a community organizer in Boyle Heights and co-founder of the local tenants union. He points out that some fancier places try to look like the community, even if long-timers don't actually go there.
This aesthetic is a cartoon of the locality that is trying to appeal to the white, more affluent customer. And I would push that it's not just about whiteness, it's class.
And you know it's about class when you see the menu prices. It might be a $5 donut or $18 burger. These are prices that are out of reach for low-income families, regardless of race. Combine that with an aesthetic that looks wealthy, and suddenly the neighborhood can feel like it's no longer for them.
So if you have a high-class or a very brand-new, painted, very colorful business right next to the small insurance company or the little bike store, it sends a message, oh, we don't belong here anymore. And that's the problem with that, too. It's not that this business doesn't belong here anymore. It doesn't belong here. It's that the others feel the push. The others feel that, okay, this is a threat for me. Now my rent is going to go up. Now I'm going to have to figure out what am I going to do.
You could see all this play out in June in Glassell Park, a small working-class Latino neighborhood in northeast L.A. John Urquiza was one of around two dozen protesters who showed up when a restaurant called Dunsmore opened up. He says a restaurant with $40 entrees isn't culturally relevant to Glassell Park's residents.
That's the surface. What really it is about is the economics. You're talking about a class of people who have way more income, way more assets, and way more resources into a neighborhood that to them is an opportunity. It's a value for them.
Urquiza says real estate that's a value for outsiders is just one or two rent hikes away from eviction for locals. He's a photojournalist, and he experienced this firsthand when he lost his photography studio in Highland Park because of rising rents. In Glassell Park, the restaurant Dunsmore offered their employees a living wage, and after the protests, they hosted a community dinner. Urquiza is very skeptical that these gestures of goodwill make a difference.
How do you balance the displacement you create versus the exploitation you're having on the community or the exploitation you're doing on the community?
The building where the restaurant is located is quickly filling up with new tenants. Urquiza says they didn't protest any of the others because the police started patrolling the area. One of those businesses is a bustling breakfast and sandwich spot modeled after an old school diner. It's called Bub and Grandma's, and the owner is Andy Caden. He lives 5 minutes away in Highland Park, where he saw entrepreneurs do
lots of dumb things, lots of good things, lots of completely unaware things.
He considered opening in Highland Park, but he was worried the tensions over gentrification there would overshadow his intention to be a community spot. So when the opportunity came along to open in Glassell Park, his team jumped on it.
I don't want to take advantage of anyone in order for this business to be successful.
One of the first decisions his team made was to keep the menu affordable. He says sandwiches are around $12 because that's what people were already paying in the neighborhood. Also, locals get a 5% discount when they show the cashier a blue metal keychain that has the words Bub's Local etched into it.
It looks like a little trapezoidal metal dog ID tag.
He's given out 500 so far. They also give bread to the mutual aid fridge across the street and to other nonprofits. Things Caden says are simply about being a good neighbor.
It wasn't like we weren't going to engage with them anyway, but now it's like all the more imperative that everyone who lives here already knows that we're thinking of them.
These questions are things that every entrepreneur should be asking themselves before they open, says Chef Jenny Dorsey.
I think it's very hard to build trust if trust hadn't been established at the beginning or if that wasn't a priority.
She coaches hospitality businesses in New York City and Los Angeles to take active steps to use their business as a force for community building and fighting displacement.
It's not often not some sort of like intentional thing that people are trying to do some harm. However, as a result of perhaps not intentionally thinking about community investment, it becomes a complicit vehicle for gentrification.
But there are limits to good intentions. You can even be from the community, and you still have to be pretty careful about not causing displacement. Barney Santos is acutely aware of this.
It's tough. It's really tough.
Santos and his wife started a consulting business to bring economic development to Montebello. His wife grew up in this historically working-class Latino city. He grew up nearby in Downey. Together, they bought some property in Montebello. They decided to start with community input before coming up with a plan for what to do with it.
We're like, hey, we're going to have a town hall. We're going to bring pizza. We're going to have like 20 people and we have a discussion.
They did that several times and talked to over 200 people of different ages. The biggest takeaway was that millennials like him wanted a community gathering place centered around food.
A lot of people my age and younger were getting degrees at high rates. We're becoming upwardly mobile. Our palates are changing because we're traveling more. We're watching like Anthony Bourdain shows and all these things. And you know, we're looking at our communities and thinking like, well, there's not a lot of that stuff where we live.
So they created Boulevard Market. It's a food hall and incubator space for local entrepreneurs. Santos has gotten mostly positive feedback from locals who he says love the space. But he's starting to see other changes to the neighborhood.
I've seen outside community members who now have bought houses here who don't look like community members that exist here. And they approached me really excitedly saying, thank you so much. We moved here because of you.
He says he's happy to engage with people like that because it's exciting.
At the same time, at the back of my mind, I can't help but think like, what did we do? Did we open the gates also? As intentional and as responsible as we are we also contributing?
And those questions, say Santos, sit heavy with him. Restaurants can stand fully with a community, but it will take more than that to stop gentrification, says Jenny Dorsey.
Hospitality business owners are not going to fix gentrification. Like, it would be great if they could, you know, but that's just not how it works. Gentrification is decades in the making, and it's not going to be unraveled overnight.
Instead, she says restaurant owners could do a lot to create systemic change. If they hire locally, one place to start is working with the local tenants union. There, business owners can help keep the workers they employ in the neighborhood. For KCRW, I'm Megan Jamerson.
Coming up, a life sentence for stealing $14 in change. That story after this break on KCRW.